Chapter 6, Global Urban Renewal. For years, our cities have been the sites of massive urban renewal projects. Have you ever watched the renewal process? First, the wrecking crews come. Swarms of bulldozers, wrecking balls, and dynamite reduce old, decaying structures to rubble. Then along come the builders, who seem to magically erect handsome new facilities. Presto! The area is reborn and made new again. So it will be with this tired and abused planet. Physical Earth also needs to be reborn, but before that happens, I believe everything decadent must be cleared away. Our all-wise Heavenly Father will plow up the Earth and root out and eliminate everything that won't harmonize with His millennial life blueprint. First of all, during the tribulation period, God will redistribute the waters and the lands, all within days through earthquakes. And there were voices, and thunders, and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Revelation chapter 16, verses 18 and 20. God will also cause great rearrangements of the firmament that will both enhance the cosmetics of the planet and provide vast new habitable land area. Earth presently has an enormous 140 million square mile land area hiding under its oceans. These future land masses include mountains higher than Mount Everest and chasms deeper than the Grand Canyon, realms to provide the most pleasant scenery. All present faults and strains in the Earth's crust will be relieved during that series of explosive quakes, and when the dust settles, our planet will be entirely earthquake-free. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it will fall, and not rise again. Isaiah chapter 24, verse 1 and verse 20. The finger of God may also correct the 22-degree tilt of the earth on its axis and its periodic wobble at the same time. These may have been caused by the violence in Lucifer's rebellion. Meteorologists say these irregularities contribute to the climate extremes, hurricanes, floods, blizzards, droughts, and other natural disasters. With our tilt and wobble corrected, we will see an idealizing of Earth's climate. God says, "And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing, and the tree of the field shall yield her fruit." Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 26-27. Through the prophet Isaiah, we are told, "The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes." Isaiah chapter 35, verse 7. Day of the Rogues. Renewal won't take place just in Earth's geography. It is my belief that Earth's spiritual geography will be revamped. "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity." Matthew chapter 13, verse 41. When I used to think of these years of chaos, my suspicious mind visualized the random annihilation of the people unfortunate enough to be alive. But God will see that the angels exercise great care in this vital end-time sorting. They will be under very tight rein. See Matthew chapter 13. There is nothing chancy in God's character. Often through history, God has moved under a divine principle of screening out the righteous before a great judgment begins. We see this with Noah's family before the flood, and with Lot's family before the destruction of Sodom. Another such time involved Ezekiel, whom the Spirit lifted up between the earth and the heaven. While there, he was shown a vision of this godly principle in action. Ezekiel saw that the city of Jerusalem had become the scene of many abominations. God described it as the land full of blood and the city full of perverseness. Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 9. "Because of this wickedness, the Lord called out six men with weapons and one man with the writer's inkhorn. He said to the man with the inkhorn, 'Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof.'" Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4. After the mark of God had been placed on the forehead of each person who hated unrighteousness, a final order was given to the slayers. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 6. It is sobering that God started with the church people. He always deals with those of his own household first. Quality control. God will carefully read the heart of each person during those last chance tribulation years. Those he sees who have the potential to harmonize with the upcoming reign of Jesus will be spared. God's longing for all to be spared can be seen in his word. Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. Those who turn to the living God will gain favor and salvation. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them. Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. But all the rest, those who irreversibly harden their heart toward God, must be screened out. Many will have given themselves over to lasciviousness, rebellion, and violence. They will be irretrievable. These will be marked as rogue humans. They probably wouldn't like millennium life or heaven either, for that matter. Hell will better suit their style since, of their own accord, they will have chosen against God. God is never whimsical. His sorting of humanity will be scatteringly accurate, absolutely just, and lovingly deliberate. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Matthew chapter 25, verses 32-34. God's inspection plan bears the cutting edge of truth, doesn't it? A loving heavenly Father will separate for himself a people who can blend with one another throughout the thousand-year reign of Jesus on earth. Millennium restoration. Millennial life will be an era of great purpose, a season when the work of earth rehabilitation must be accomplished. First Armageddon, then to work. There will be limited time for harping. Praise God. Earth will be plowed and ready for our loving attention, ready to be replanted, rebuilt, and reorganized. Modern Israel depicts a striking type of the restoration work that must take place in the earth during the millennium. The Lord granted Abraham a title in perpetuity to the territory that includes present-day Israel. After centuries of putting up with Jewish defiance, God temporarily drove them from their own land. During their absence, and while under alien stewardship, the land grew barren and desolate. Stripped of trees, untilled, and unwatered, the promised land became wasteland. Finally, the Jews were able to return from the diaspora to their devastated inheritance. Now, Israel is being restored. In a dramatic fulfillment of prophecy, the Jews are being gathered from the four corners of the world into Israel. Similarly, the Bible tells how, at the close of Armageddon, the Jews and all righteous Gentiles will again be gathered up under God's direction. The Bible foretold how, under God's blessing, and by the work of their own hands, the Jews would so transform the land that visitors would exclaim, It looks like the Garden of Eden! This has come to pass in our day. See Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 35. In contrast, the millennial rebuilding will be accomplished through both supernatural acts and by human endeavor. We can look forward to witnessing all the changes in this exquisite planet while it is being progressively restored to its Edenic perfection. Millennium citizenry will include all of the saints, plus the remaining few millions of unsaved people still alive at the conclusion of Armageddon. As King of the Earth, Jesus will lead and direct the entire society from Jerusalem, the world's capital. He will delegate authority and power to the saints who will reign over designated areas under him, as he did in the following parable. And he said unto him, Well done, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little. Have thou authority over 10 cities? Luke chapter 19, verse 17. The millennium won't mean the inauguration of a classless society, but one with well-defined orders, allowing a high order of efficiency under our Lord's direction. Are you exhausted already just thinking about your assignments during the millennium? Well, during that glorious time, it will never be tiring for believers. It'll be a stimulating time because we will experience the vitality of immortality pulsing in every cell. Our knowledge, wisdom, and ability will have been instantly expanded at the moment of our resurrection. We will have the mind of Christ. Never again we will experience brain fade, mental sluggishness, or forgetfulness. The dynamic of resurrection power will be ours at last. Complex problems will then become very simple. Assignments will be easy for us. The joyful sounds of progress will grace the millennium years. David's description in Psalm 18 gives us a good idea of just how awesome Jesus' presence will be on earth during the millennium. The Lord descended from above and bowed the heavens most high, and underneath his feet he cast the darkness of the sky on cherubim and seraphim. Full royally he rode, and on the wings of mighty winds came flying all abroad. He sat serene upon the floods, their fury to restrain, and he, as sovereign Lord and King, forevermore shall reign. What a day!